Hello, Agape Church and friends. Welcome in to episode number 142 of the Building Up Podcast. It's been a while since we recorded an episode. I am glad to be back doing another one of these and hope that as you're listening to this, you are doing well and that this podcast will be beneficial to you in the building up of your faith. Today, we're going to look at a passage in Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to ask, what did Paul mean when he said that he was filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions? So let's look at the verse in context. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, and he says this, "I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known." All right, so part of this verse is rather easy to understand. Paul is suffering, and what we know in context is he is imprisoned in Rome for the ministry of the gospel. He has been imprisoned as he is preaching the gospel, and his preaching of the gospel is the core reason that he has been imprisoned. So we understand he's suffering, and we can understand that his suffering is for the sake of the church. So he says, "I am suffering for your sake, for the sake of the body," that is the church, "because God has given me a ministry. He's ordained that I would make the word of God fully known, that I would preach the word." And so as Paul is preaching the word, the church is being built up, those who are already in the church, and other people are becoming part of the church because they are believing upon Jesus. So Paul is saying, that's my suffering, and the suffering is happening for your sake, for the sake of the church, that the church would be built up and the church would grow. And we can probably even understand why he would then say, "I rejoice in my sufferings," because Paul is experiencing joy knowing that the suffering that he is going through has benefit for the church. Now, you and I doubt any of us have suffered imprisonment for the gospel, but we do understand what it's like to suffer as we serve the church. And there may be a variety of ways in which we do that. Sometimes that suffering may come through lack of sleep or our resources being depleted because we are being generous with our time or our money for other people in the church to help them to not only have their physical needs met, but also their spiritual needs met. There may be other kinds of suffering that we go through. You probably know that in your life. You can think back to, okay, I have been serving the church. I have been trying to make the gospel known, and there has been some level of suffering that I've experienced for that because of that work, but I rejoice in it because I am thankful not necessarily for the suffering, but I'm thankful that what I am doing is a benefit to the church. And so I can rejoice even when I suffer as I see the suffering that is happening has a purpose. Either I can see the fruit of it in someone's life or just knowing that I'm ordained to do this. There may be times that your suffering is you're sharing the gospel with someone, you're trying to minister to them, and they're rejecting you over and over and over again. And that suffering may be the sorrow that comes with that rejection. Yet you still know that you are doing that which God has ordained for you to do. So there is joy that you experience in that suffering because you know that God sees and rewards his servants, but also that God will use what we're doing for the benefit of his name and his church. So we can understand, I think, all of that to some degree, what Paul is saying here. What we really don't understand is the description that he uses about his suffering. He says, "In my flesh," so again, in my body, this suffering is happening to me physically, "I am filling up what is lacking," or "I am supplying what is lacking in Christ's afflictions." That's the part that really stands out to us. What does that mean? Because if we know our theology, all right, we have our doctrine, and we understand nothing is lacking in what Christ did. If we're talking about the afflictions of Jesus, Jesus Christ becoming man, fully God, becoming fully man, living on the earth, suffering, just the basics of humanity, whether it's being hungry, cold, hot, tired, poor, all of those experiences of humanity that Christ had gone through. But also, ultimately, the life that he lived to make the kingdom of God known, the persecution he faced, the ridicule that he faced, the sleepless nights that he faced doing those things, the temptation of sin to which he never gave in, but he felt the sting of temptation. And then ultimately, at the end of the perfect life he lived on the earth, he went to the cross. He suffered brutally, public humiliation and physical suffering being nailed to a cross. He faced spiritual suffering in receiving the wrath of God for sin, not sin he had committed, but those that he was dying for on the cross, those who would believe upon him. He's suffering, dying for the world, that the world, if the world would believe in him, would live. And then dying, facing down the enemy of death. All of those things, the afflictions of Christ, what we know is that was enough. There's nothing else that needs to be done for you and I, anyone on earth, to be saved from their sin, to be saved from eternal death. They believe upon the finished work of Christ on the cross. His afflictions are done. He's no longer suffering. There's nothing that is lacking in his work that he did on the cross. It is sufficient for us and for the salvation of the world, everyone who turns to him. Nothing else needs to be done. The Bible tells us that over and over again. Even on the cross, Jesus said some of the last words that he spoke, "It is finished." So there's nothing that Paul would supply that is lacking in that work that Jesus did. There's nothing that you and I would do if we put ourselves in the place of Paul that would complete that work of Christ upon the cross for the redemption of sins. It is finished. So what does Paul mean then that he is supplying or filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ or in Christ's afflictions? What is he talking about? Now, when we come across passages, verses in the Bible that we are not sure about, one useful tip is for you to look for other places in the New Testament where that same word or phrase may be used. And search it out, and if you can find that same word or phrase used in other places in the New Testament, then you can read the context it was used in those other places, and sometimes that will help you understand more of the meaning. And you can do that. There's some apps that will help you. There is an app called, I believe it's Accordance. It's one that I use that you can long press on one of the English words in the scripture, and it will show you the original Greek word that has been translated into English, and it'll give you a definition of that word. You can also, a website I like is BibleHub.com. I think it's .com, but anyway, look up BibleHub, and you can look up a verse, and it will show you the Greek words behind the verse, and it will also lead you to other places that those things, those words are used in the New Testament. So search that out and find other places that it's used. Now, not as luck would have it, but as we are blessed when we're looking up this particular phrase, that Paul uses this exact same language, this exact same wording, one other place in his writings, in Philippians chapter 2. All right, so in Philippians chapter 2, if you'll go there, verse 30 is the verse that he uses this exact same phrase. But let me just kind of tell you a little bit about what's going on there in the rest of the passage. So in Philippians chapter 2, Paul is imprisoned in Rome, and the church in Philippi had gathered together a gift for him. Okay? They you know, whatever it was, monetary, some type of love offering, love gift that they had put together for Paul. They had collected it and they had it ready to go, and they wanted to get it to him because they loved him and they knew that he was suffering for their sake and for the sake of the gospel. And so they got this gift together. But what we find is the problem they had is they had no opportunity to get it to him. They had no way to be able to get the gift to Paul. That was the thing that was missing. And so there was a man in the church in Philippi, I'm going to try to pronounce it, Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus stands up and he says, "Hey, I'll take the gift." And what Paul says is he risked his life to do this. He risked his life. As a matter of fact, not only did he enter into danger in order to go to Rome and deliver this gift to Paul, but he actually got sick along the way and he almost died. And so Paul goes on to say he's recovered, but I know that you, the church, you've been worried about him. I know that he has been worried about you being worried about him. That's what we read in these verses, and I think it's a beautiful picture of the church. How amazing that is. The church has sent one of their own to Paul. He almost died. They've been worried about him. And Paul knows that. And Epaphroditus, he's been worried about the church, knowing that they're concerned for him. And so Paul says, this man is a fellow brother. He's a fellow worker. He's a fellow soldier. He was your messenger to me to minister to me in my need. And he has been longing for you. He has been distressed over you because you heard that he was ill. And so it is right for me to send him back to you, even though he's very helpful to me here. And, you know, essentially I'm going to miss him being here with me, but it's the right thing for me to do to send him back to you so that he can come back to the church, come back to his family, and spend some time with you, and all of you can rejoice together. And so that's what Paul is saying, that he's getting ready to do. And that is where he gets to verse 30. I'll start in verse 29, actually. "So receive him, Epaphroditus, in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men." All right, what such men? Well, those who nearly die, or those who die for the work of Christ. So that's what he's saying. He nearly died for the work of Christ, so he deserves your honor. You should honor men who sacrifice themselves for the sake of Christ. And then he finishes saying, he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. So there it is. Same phrase. Epaphroditus had risked his life for the work of Christ, and he did so to complete what was lacking in the Philippians' service to Paul. So now we can ask the question, because we're not dealing with these questions of the afflictions of Christ, and we know his work was sufficient on the cross, so what does that mean? Now we can ask the question, what did Paul mean here? What was lacking in the Philippians' service to Paul? All right, well, we talked about it a moment ago. Let's go back through it. They had the gift. They had brought together this offering. If you want to, you can say it was complete. It was sufficient. It didn't lack anything. It was ready to go. It was an expression of their love to him, and it was going to meet their needs. But what was lacking? Well, they didn't have a messenger to take it. They didn't have a minister to take what had been finished and present it to Paul to be the means by which it would be delivered. That was what was lacking. And so Paul said, Epaphroditus stood up, risked his life, and he said, "I'll take this offering that has been completed, and I will be the one who will be the messenger to take it and personally present it to Paul so that he can experience it, so that he can have it, so that he can receive the love from it as well as the needs." So keeping that in mind, we can now go back to Colossians 1, and hopefully this is coming together for us. I am filling up, we're back in Colossians 1, Paul speaking, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. I'm supplying what is lacking. Okay. If the afflictions of Christ were complete, the work of Christ on the cross complete, nothing else needs to be done, what's lacking? What's lacking is the messengers. What's lacking is people taking the gift that Christ has completed on the cross and personally presenting it to others. And Paul is saying, that's what I've been doing. I am in prison right now because I have been executing this ordination that God has given me to make his word fully known. Christ has completed his work on the cross, but here is what lacks. Someone, messengers, to take this work, the message of this work, and personally to present it to others so that they can receive it, so that the church can hear the gospel over and over and over and over and be built up in their faith, they can grow in knowledge and spiritual wisdom and understanding, which is talked about in Colossians, and other people who are not yet saved can hear the gospel, believe upon Jesus, and be saved. That's what's lacking. And Christ, that's what's lacking. And so Paul is doing that, suffering so that he is supplying what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, which is the messenger, someone to take the message. And I think this is really in line with in Romans chapter 10. In Romans 10, where the gospel is being talked about and how anyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. That's verse 13 of Romans 10. And then Paul asks a series of questions to the church in Rome. How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? So he says, anyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved, but how are they going to call on Jesus if they've not believed in him? So they need to believe first, then they'll call on him. But how are they going to believe in him of whom they've never heard? How can they believe in Christ and then call upon him to be saved if they've actually never heard of him? See, that's what's lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Not his work, but people hearing about his work. And Paul continues, Romans 10. How are they going to hear without someone preaching? And we're not talking there about preaching like a pastor does behind a pulpit necessarily, but we're talking about the presentation, the proclamation of the gospel. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I actually skipped verse 15 there. How are they to preach unless they're sent? So they need to be sent. Just like Paul has been sent, commissioned by the Lord, just like as Epaphroditus was sent, commissioned by the Lord, but by the church in Philippi as well, they're sent with the gift. And the gift is presented. The gift of the gospel is presented in Paul's preaching, and then people can hear, and they can believe, and they can call upon Jesus. So the implication here for us is the need to share the word of God with others. We have that same responsibility. That is still what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Not his work, but the need for there to be messengers who go and present his work, present what he has done. Inside the church, we do that for one another. We encourage and we exhort one another in the church. We deliver, present the message of God's word, the promises of his word, over and over and over again to one another, so that we hear it, we're encouraged, we're exhorted, we're built up. And we also share the message about Christ with others who are not saved. And we fill up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions as we do that. We may suffer in the process in various ways, but we do that for the sake of the church. When my wife and I were in the mountains back in November, we take a Lord willing, we take a trip in the fall each year to the mountains. And when we were there this year, on the streets of a city called Gatlinburg, and those of you who are in the South are definitely familiar with that, there was we were walking down the strip in Gatlinburg one night, and I saw an older man standing there. And I saw he was just standing there, and it was really cold that night. I mean, I don't remember the exact temperature, but I would say it was very close to freezing. And so we're all bundled up, and the older man, he's standing there, he's bundled up, and he caught my eye, and I saw that he was, you know, as people were walking by, he was reaching out to them to hand them something, and some people would take it, and some would not, and I realized, oh, he's handing out, my guess was he was handing out Bible tracts. That was what I thought. And so I as we walked by, he reached out to hand me and my wife one, and we took it and we walked past him. But I just had this momentary, you should go back and pray for him, talk to him. And so I did. So we turned back around and we went back to greet him. And found out his name was Ken, and we stood there and talked to Ken for probably 15 minutes or more. And he was a delightful man. He was from New Jersey, but he was there in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, because there was a parade happening that weekend in Gatlinburg, and he knew there would be a large crowd of people there, and so he had traveled there to give out these Bible tracts. He was 78 years old. And man, I can't tell you how much this guy impacted me, just impressed me. I thought about him, not just in that moment, but for days afterwards. And that was really one of the reasons I wanted to do this particular podcast episode, because I wanted to talk just for a moment about Ken. He began to tell me that he started giving out these Bible tracts in 1985. And he has a pattern where he travels around to different cities where there's going to be a large gathering of people. So he's been all over Atlanta, New Orleans, Gatlinburg, all over places down in Florida. He would just go to where there's crowds of people and hand out these tracts. And he said his goal originally, or over time, had developed that he wanted to give out 1 million tracts in his life. And at that point, when we were talking to him in the fall, he had given out 683,000 Bible tracts since 1985. And he was telling me that you know, he had calculated that if he could live to be 90 and he could hand out 30,000 tracts a year, then he would meet his goal. And he let us pray for him, and I told him I was a pastor. He asked if he could pray for us in our ministry. And it was just it was a delightful meeting. And I'll probably never see Ken again this side of eternity. But he made an impression upon me. And I think the impression was this: just for him, he has a particular way that he believed he was to share God's word and to make Christ known. And it might not be the way that you and I would do it, or that we would feel called to do it, but it was the way that he felt called to do it. And he had given his life to that act since 1985, 680,000 Bible tracts. And how many people, you know, how many times has Ken been rejected, made fun of, ridiculed on the streets in these cities giving out these Bible tracts? But, you know, when I mentioned that to him and tried to encourage him in that, it was like he was already encouraged in it. He was like, yeah, if I can give out 1 million of these tracts, can you imagine just if the smallest percentage of people read it, or the smallest percentage of people handed it to someone else, the potential impact? He was rejoicing even in what might be suffering, whether it was just standing out in the cold or being, you know, persecuted by people making fun of him. He rejoiced in it because he had the chance to impact people for the gospel, the church, and to see other people come into the church. He was filling up what was lacking in Christ's afflictions, which was being a minister of the gospel. That's how Ken does it. Here's my question: what do we do, right? We need to wrestle with that. How are we supplying what is lacking in the afflictions of Jesus in our day-to-day lives, in the context of our local church, in the context of our family, in the context of those who don't know Jesus? What is Christ putting on our heart? It may not be to travel around and give out Bible tracts. It might, but it might not be that, but it's something. We have been called and commissioned as well to fill up what is lacking, to be the messenger, present the gospel personally to others, the gift of love from God the Father. It is good for us to wrestle with how we are doing that day in and day out. May God bless Ken, and my prayer for him is he'll reach his goal that he has. But no matter what, he'll receive his reward in heaven. And my prayer for us, all of us, is that we too will know how we are called to present the gospel to the church and to others and fill up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ and receive our reward. Thanks for being with us today. I know this was kind of long, but I hope you've stuck with it, and I hope it's been helpful. Until next time, grace and peace to your family.
Thank you for listening to the Building Up Podcast, a ministry of Agape Church in Pinson, Alabama. If you have a question about today's podcast or would like to suggest a topic for the future, please email us, buildingup@agapepinson.com. To subscribe to this podcast, simply search for Building Up from Agape Church in your favorite podcast app. My face so fierce, he looks straight into me and said, "Son, I've given you victory. I can hear